Thank you, Daryl. Do you hear me? Everything's okay with sound? Cool. So my name is Ded Shekel. I'm working in Windows Security and Windows PKI. I have a first session coming from the product group, and Kantak gives an overview. And then we have the following four sessions, and Kantak go over one by one. First one is Windows PKI overview, now at 11. Then we have Larry is going to present a CASO, which is the system overview document, followed by Chris, which will go over the HTTP enrollment work we've done in Windows 7. And then tomorrow we have two more sessions talking about the new protocols that we have done in Windows 7 and how can we, what opportunities we think licenses might have leveraging that work that we have done in Windows 7. So before we start, some backgrounds, kind of like, you know, the big picture, where do we stand? So what is Windows Security? Windows is sliced into three different divisions. Windows Client, which is also referred to as WEX, Windows Server, and then COSDI. COSDI is the Core Operating System Division. COSDI, Core Operating System Division. So within COSDI, COSDI actually owns all the common functionality and infrastructure that is required both for the client and for the server. Okay? So you have client on top, server on top, and then you have COSDI below those two divisions, right? COSDI itself has been divided into multiple sections. Like we have networking, we have kernel, we have the hardware ecosystem, and we have security as well. So Windows Security sits in COSDI, which is part of the Windows overall org, and which is being used by Windows Client and the Windows Server division. So that's Windows Security. Within Windows Security, there are also subgroups. One of them is Windows PKI. We have the authentication team. We have other teams as well within Windows Security. So that's the organization. Another question that you might ask is, like, when will Windows 7 ship? You probably heard a lot about Windows 7. The following few days, we're going to discuss the protocol work in Windows 7, but when is it going to actually be shipped? So first of all, we don't have any publicly available date for RTM yet, but we did release about a year ago a post by one of our VPs saying that Windows 7 will be shipped 3 years or 3 years or less after Windows Vista was shipped. Windows Vista was shipped in October 2006, which means that Windows 7 should be shipped anytime between now and October 2009. Okay? As you probably know, we are currently working on the RC milestone, release candidate milestone. We are very close to actually releasing this milestone. And the next release after RC is actually RTM. Okay? So RC within the next weeks or month, and within the time between now and October 2009, you can expect Windows 7 to be shipped. So that's the second kind of like background question. Third, tell us a bit about yourself. So again, my name is Ded Shekel. I'm a program manager at Windows Security. I joined Microsoft about 8 years ago, started with Visual Studio, working on the Visual Studio IDE and source code management for 2 years. Then I moved to the Write Management team, working on RMS and the obfuscation piece of RMS, again for about 2 years. And for the last 4+ years, I'm actually working on PKI, again, Windows PKI, part of Windows Security, part of COSDI. That's me. Originally, I'm from Israel. I actually came to the U.S. to work at Microsoft 8 years ago. So another question like people usually ask, people not from Microsoft, so what does a program manager do? All right, so again, I'm Ded Shekel, and I'm a program manager. So what is a program manager? So the product group overall is the group that is responsible for the next releases of the product, right? So we are currently working on Windows 7. Once Windows 7 release, we're actually transitioning the work, the Windows 7 work, to a different group that owns the sustained engineering of this of the product, and we'll start working on the next release of Windows. So that's the product group. The product group itself has been divided into three different disciplines. So we have the test, we have dev, and we have program manager, right? Developers write the code, test the code, and program manager do everything else. So everything that doesn't fall under like writing the code or testing the code eventually is the program manager. Main responsibility is to identify the features and the scenarios for the next releases, to write the specifications for those, and to do project management of the entire life cycle or product cycle for the release. Along with those lines, we also own the protocol documentation. So all the protocols that are part of MCPP or WSPPP are usually being owned by the program manager discipline within the org. Okay? Next, what is a PlugFest? You probably know by now what is a PlugFest. PlugFest is an event we have every quarter, 4 times a year. The way we do it, we actually focus on a specific technology into each one of those events. So we have the directory plug fest, we have the file services plug fest, and we also have the certificate plug fest. And the idea is that's an opportunity for licensees to come and show up and for us to kind of like to go over the work we've done in the last releases of our product, to explain the protocols and to really have an engagement to see how you can interoperate with our product to achieve your business goals. What is certificate? So that's something I would expect you to know. That's something I'm not going to answer in the deck. I would expect you to understand what certificate is, what PKI is all about, X049, and some of the basic standards. So that's background. Any questions on background? Big picture? Okay. So we have an hour for this session, and I have three goals for this hour. So first of all is really to understand the overview, like the protocol structures. What do we have for certificate in Windows security around protocols and structures? Second, we have introduced two new protocols in the Windows 7 timeframe. By saying Windows 7, I actually refer to both the client and the server that are planned to be released at the same time. Those are kind of like the Windows 7 wave. And also the third bullet is to learn about changes. So we also have done a few minor changes to existing protocols in the Windows 7 timeframe. So those are the three things we'd like to achieve. Agenda, overview, and then you're going to see it a lot in the next following 2 days, like DCOM and HTTP-based enrollment. DCOM is the way that clients and end entities are enrolling in the current releases of Windows, Windows Vista, Windows XP, Windows 2003, 2008. And we actually made some minor changes to those enrollment protocols. But the biggest change in Windows 7 is to actually the introduction of an HTTP-based enrollment protocols. And that's the most of the sessions that we will cover from the product group. We're actually going to go into the details of HTTP protocols because we do believe there are new business opportunities for you to interoperate with the Windows install base by actually leveraging the HTTP-based protocols. So I'm going to go over a bit on this. Then we have some other protocols that I'm just going to run through, and eventually I will go into a deeper kind of like a slide per change for the Windows 7 protocol changes. So what is Windows Certificate Protocols? So we have all those. I think there are 10 last time I counted. Yeah, we have 10 already, and we have one that we are working on. So there are many protocols that are kind of like our part of our overall like a certificate and structures in Windows PKI, right? And what we would like you to achieve out of the next 2 days is to really to understand overall what each one of those protocols is doing and to really be able to focus on the right protocol for your specific products, for a specific business, and for a specific company. So this is not something we don't expect all of you to understand and to really implement all those protocols, but to achieve different business scenarios, you might need to go into more details into one of those protocols. So another thing I would like to mention, we have those 10 documents. We're also working on an additional overview, which is called CASO, which is an auto-enrollment technical document. So it's not ready yet, and we are a few months away from a release, but if you would like to get more information on auto-enrollment, then please let me know and we can discuss it further. So first I'm going to start with DCOM-based enrollment. As I said, DCOM is the current way for existing clients to enroll for a certificate. It's also supported, fully supported in Windows 7. So by introducing HTTP-based enrollment, would not break existing functionality. The same functionality that used to work for Vista should work for Windows 7 and Windows 7 Server. Okay? So DCOM-based enrollment, what does it mean? There are three main entities that participate in the enrollment process overview. Overall, we have the Active Directory, which is a storage for a certificate template. Certificate template is documented in a technical document called MSCRTD. So that's one object. The second object is obviously the CA, right? Is the entity that is responsible for issuing certificates. And obviously the third one is the enrollee itself. Enrollee is can run on any Windows queue, Windows client, Windows server that participates in this enrollment process. The way that it works is that the enrollee itself will download those certificate templates from Active Directory, right? Will enumerate either manually or automatically which type of certificates you would like to enroll for. And eventually, we send a certificate request over the protocol specified in MSWCC to the CA. The CA itself will download the same template through LDAP from the Active Directory, will validate the request, will authorize or not authorize the issuance of certificate, and will return a response back to the client. So that's overall the process for DCOM-based enrollment. MSWCC specifies two interfaces. I'll go into more details on those, and those interfaces are actually DCOM objects that the server implements. Any questions on DCOM-based enrollment? Did anyone here read MSWCC in the past? Okay. Did you read MSWCC? Okay, just so I know how fast to run through the protocols. So, the first document I would like to explain a bit further is what we call MSCRTD. MSCRTD is actually not a protocol document. It's a structure, a technical structure of what we call certificate template. It documents a certificate template that is being persisted in this AD container, so certificate templates under the configuration, the enterprise configuration container. And in this container, there are multiple objects of type PKI certificate templates. Each one of those objects is referred to as a certificate template in our documentation, in our technical documents, in everything that you see online as well. So a certificate template essentially is just an object in a specific location in Active Directory where we define the schema of 28 attributes of this object. Okay, and MSCRTD goes into further details into each one of those attributes. Okay, so that's what the certificate template is all about. It's an instance of an object in a specific container where the schema is defined in this document. That make sense? That's pretty straightforward. Now, what a certificate template is all about is identifying and defining the attributes for the enrollment process. So the semantics of the schema of these objects will tell both the client and the server what do they need to do for a successful enrollment. So for example, there is an attribute that calls PKI extended key usage. It's a string, it's multi-value, and each value is an EKU OID. So it tells both the client what type of certificate request it needs to generate, and it tells the server what type of certificate it needs to issue to the client. Okay? So that's just a single attribute, just an example. Two more examples are the default CSPs, where it's a client-only settings, and the attribute itself contains a list of names of CSPs, or cryptographic service providers, that the client should use to generate the private key and to store the private key. And the last one is the minimal key size, just an example. It's it's a number that tells the client and the server what is the minimal size of a key that the certificate should be based on. Okay, so those are just three examples. Again, there are 28 of those, and those are documented in CRTD, MSCRTD. And the way that the process works is that both the client and the server will adhere to the processing rules that are identified in MSWCC and the other documents for those specific attributes for the enrollment process. Any questions? Does that make sense? So again, CRTD itself identifies the schema for those 28 attributes, and the protocol documentation itself will guide you through what does our client and our server do with regard to those different attributes. MSWCC. So MSWCC is the core protocol document that we see licensees are reading through and actually implementing and interoperating with. It identifies both the server and the client processing rules to enable a certificate request and certificate issuance. There are two main modes. Before going into the bullets, there are two main modes of operation for our clients and server. There is the standalone mode and the enterprise mode. Standalone mode is a mode where certificate templates are not in the picture. The client can generate whatever they want, and the server can decide whether to issue those or not based on the admin intent. The enterprise mode is where both the client and the server adhere to the processing rules of a certificate template. Okay? And what I'm going to go over in the deck is really focus on the enterprise mode of RCA, where the client will use certificate templates to generate a certificate request, and the server will use the same templates to issue or deny those requests. Okay? So there are two interfaces documented in MSWCC, iCert Request D, which was defined and implemented in Windows 2000 SKU, and iCert Request D2, which was defined in Windows Server 2003, and then XP as well. Okay, so those two different interfaces are documented in MSWCC. The main method is request in ICERT request D and request 2 in ICERT request D2. So essentially, those two methods are almost identical. There's just one additional parameter in request 2 that does not exist in request. But other than that, everything is identical for those two methods. And that's the main method that we will expect licensees to understand and to implement if they would like to interoperate with our Windows client. What this method is all about, one of the parameters of this method is a blob, just a binary blob. And this binary blob contains a certificate request. Certificate request can be a P10, a P7, or a CMC structure, and contains, again, the certificate request that the clients would like to send to the CA. That's just one parameter of this request and request to method. Through this one parameter, the client can actually send different types of requests, right? He can either request a new certificate, he can request to renew an existing certificate, he can request to enroll with a private key, which means that the blob itself contains an encryption value of the private key of the client. And it also can request to enroll on behalf of someone else. So again, all of those are being conveyed through a data structure, P10, P7, or CMC, and being sent through a single parameter in a single method, almost a single method, request and request to the CA. And that's the main method that we would expect you to understand if you would like to interoperate with our clients. Additional functionality that is specified in ICERT request D and ICERT request D2 is some diagnostic information about the CA. So the client can use those interfaces to get status on the CA configuration. So there is a method getCAcert, getCAProperty, where the client calls the CA to retrieve a specific property of the CA. This is not essential, not required, right, to enable this scenario, right? Only one of those properties is required, and we can talk about those later, but overall there are about 40-something properties, and you don't need to implement all those 40-something protocols to enable an enrollment. Okay? Any questions on WCC? Yep. So can you repeat the question? I'm not sure I understand it.
Yeah, so there needs to set a ticket request.
Yep. Yeah. So the client itself will send, I'm just going to repeat the question. Right? So the question is whether the CSR that the client sent to the CA, right, can work with other CAs as well. So that's a few slides down the road. I actually am going to talk about how to interoperate with Windows client. The idea is the client will identify the DNS hostname of the server by looking at Active Directory, right? So the DNS hostname will just identify the server that actually implements those interface, and it doesn't have to be a Windows server. It's just a server that implements the protocols in MSWCC, okay? So the client, there is a discovery mechanism for the client to just find the server, and then once someone implements those interface, the client will just send the CSR. And the implementation itself can either issue it or proxy it to other CA. It's really implementation-specific details from there on. Okay? So, just one slide on auto-enrollment. Auto-enrollment is one of our core components and core value proposition for Windows PKI. Essentially, what it does, it allows an enterprise administrator to deploy certificates to end users and machine without requiring those users to know that they're actually getting a certificate. So if you're in a Windows domain and the enterprise admin decides to enable PKI and enable auto-enrollment, you might get a certificate without even knowing they are there, right? And the idea is that we don't believe that end users need to understand or will ever understand all they need to regarding certificate enrollment process. And auto-enrollment is there to automate the enrollment process for them. Right? And it does so by actually leveraging the infrastructure that we have in place, the distributed mechanism we have in place that identify the certificate template in Active Directory and the discovery method that we have to identify the CA itself. So it's actually a task running on Windows machine, right? Introduced in Windows 2000. It retrieves enrollment policies. So the first thing it does is actually goes to the Active Directory, download all those certificate templates, and all the information you can find about the CA right from the Active Directory. Next thing it will do, it actually will compare the list of those available certificates template to the local store. So for example, if my admin decided that I need to have an EFS type of certificate, it creates an EFS certificate template in the Active Directory. Now, AutoNumeraIt will run, and we'll get, okay, Oded actually needs to have an EFS type of certificate, and then we'll observe the certificate store. Do I already have one of the certificates, or do I actually need to enroll for this type of certificate? So obviously, the first time it will run, it's actually going to send an enrollment request to the CA and should get a certificate back. Next time it will run periodically, every 8 hours or even less, it's just going to look at the certificate store and see whether the certificate that's there actually meets the requirement of the certificate template and whether it's valid. If it's valid, it's not going to do anything. If it's about to expire, it's actually going to try to renew this certificate based on the same certificate template and the information that's in the local certificate store. Okay, does it make sense? So again, the goal of auto-enrollment is once the admin decided, right, that a user or a group need to have type of certificates, auto-enrollment makes sure that those users logging into a workstation actually have a valid certificate and key for their usage based on this certificate template. Okay? And again, as I said, we're actually working on technical documentation that identify all the processing goals and behavior of this auto-enrollment task. Yes, a question? Good question. So in Windows Vista, auto-enrollment just works in the domain join machine where an admin deploy an enterprise type of CA. Correct. It doesn't. It's all based on templates. Okay. In Windows 7, we did go and enabled multiple scenarios on top of it, and Chris is going to go over those scenarios tomorrow. But currently, Windows Vista in 2008 and earlier, again, it's domain join, and it's only against CAs that are based on certificate template, which means enterprise CAs. Okay. So a few kind of like information how to connect the dots. We have auto-enrollments, we have the clients, we have CRTD, we have WCC. How can someone connect the dots and interop with our client base? So if a CA would like to auto-enrollment to send its certificate request, then it needs to publish itself to AD. As I said, and as I explained, right, we have auto-enrollment runs on all client-based, right? Client SKUs, service SKUs, you can just enable it by deploying the right GPO. Now, how can you, as a licensee, if you would like to implement a server, can interoperate with auto-enrollment? So what we also have in Active Directory on top of the certificate template object is a container that we call enrollment services. So it's a peer container to certificate templates called enrollment services. Under this container, a CA needs to create a PKI enrollment services object for itself and store it under this container. Within this PKI enrollment services object, right, or instance of this object, the CA needs to set those values, right? The CA needs to be equal to the subject field of the CA signing certificate. The DNS hostname is actually the DNS of the CA implementing those protocols. And the CA certificate is a signed CA certificate. So by doing those three things, you actually make your CA discoverable for auto-enrollment and for other enrollment apps, right? So again, so you create an object or an instance of this object in a specific location. Auto-enrollment runs periodically, or actually other tools can run periodically. Look at this object and actually download all the CA information that is stored there. The next thing is to configure to connect the dot is what we call configured certificate template. So not all CA need to issue all types of certificate template. So when you install the first CA in an enterprise, we actually deploy or we actually add 31 objects of certificate templates in Active Directory. 31. So EFS and SMIME and web server and workstation and machine, like just 31 of those. But not all CA have to, all CAs have to issue all templates. One of the things that the CA published to the Active Directory is the list of certificate templates that it can actually issue. So for example, you implement your own CA and you decide your own CA will just issue one certificate template, then you actually go to the same object that you use to publish your CA, you go to the certificate template attribute and just add the CN of the certificate template into this attribute, and that's a multi-string value. So EFS can be one, and SMM can be second one, and web server can be third one. And when the client will download all the certificate information, all the CA information, it will try to create a match between the certificate template that I need and a CA that I need that actually issues those certificate templates. Okay? Does it make sense? Any questions on like overall, like the decomposers? Did they answer a question on how to deploy another server?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. So, last slide regarding decom enrollment is overall like an overview of the CASA document. So, CASA is not actually a protocol document. It's a system overview document. So, certification authority system overview. Larry is going to have a session going in depth on CASA at 1 p.m. today. High level, what CASA is all about is really identifying the relationship between different protocols that the CA system might need to implement. So as you can see in the first slide, we actually have like 10 different protocols that are related to certificate, right? What's the relationship between those protocols? What are the shared ADM or data structures that need to be shared across different protocols? And what needs to be implemented for specific scenarios? Those should be covered in the CASA, in the CASA system overview and the session that Larry's gonna have. Okay, CASA is already available online today. We're actually working on a new release. It's a major a revision of the release. So if you would like to get more details on the latest release, then just let me or Larry know, and we can talk to you about what's new in the newest releases of this TD. So before going to HTTP-based enrollment, any questions on decom-based enrollment? The way that it works today, the different protocols, different server components, client components. Is that clear? Yeah. So the good question. The question is whether we're doing any polling or any detection whether the certificate is about to expire, right? So this logic will be documented in the auto-enrollment technical document. High-level auto-enrollment itself, right, we look whether a certificate is about to expire. One of the attributes in the certificate template calls the PKI overlap period attribute. So it identifies the overlap period where a renewal request is required or is recommended. So for example, let's say the certificate is valid for a year and the overlap is a month, right? So auto-enrollment runs every 8 hours, right? It will do nothing for the first 11 months. But once you actually reach this overlap period, it's gonna say, okay, this certificate will expire next month. Overlap is 1 month, right? I need to generate a renewal request and send it to the CA. So everything is initiated by the client. And there is actually a logic or a way to instruct the client when to send a renewal request. Answer your question? Any more questions? So, HTTP-based enrollment. Again, DCOM is the way that our clients have been working with our CA for the last 3 releases of Windows. Chris is going to go over more in details and like in the limitation and the challenges with this type of enrollment process or enrollment protocol. But eventually, we have decided in the Windows 7 release to introduce new set of protocol that will enable HTTP-based enrollments, which by doing so, we actually explore or increase the number of scenarios that we actually enable in our Windows PKI. So we allow new scenarios like non-domain join scenarios, B2B scenarios, B2C scenarios, issuance by other public CAs or by other entities, through enterprise machines. So all those scenarios are enabled by us actually introducing HTTP protocols and licensees like you implementing the other side of this protocol. So really high level. Again, two conceptual server entities and one client. One server is called Certificate Enrollment Policy Web Service, right? So that's the server that implements a protocol documented in MSXSEP. So like the way that certificate templates are being stored in the Active Directory and being transitioned over LDAP to the client, XSEP is a SOAP-based HTTP protocol that allows a web server to send the same type of object, certificate template, through HTTP back to the client. Okay? So that's very equivalent to an AD storing CRTD and returning those to LDAP. Then the certificate policy web servers restore it in whatever way they want, right? And we return policy back to the client. Okay, and those are the same type of policies, certificate templates and the CA information. Everything that has been stored in AD can be retrieved through this SOAP protocol that is documented in XAP. Okay? So that's the first protocol. Second protocol is WS STEP. Actually, it stands for Web Services Trust, WS Trust Extension Protocol. So what it does, it actually goes through WS Trust, and we extended the protocol through a few objects to enable extra finance certificate enrollment. So it's a WS Trust compliant protocol and server. We just added a few objects that are required to enable those enrollment processes, and Chris will go over those objects later on. But again, it's SOAP-based, HTTP, WS Trust compliant implementation that can be used to enable enrollment over HTTP to the Windows 7 client base. Okay? So as I said, currently, the current plan is just to have the implementation of those protocols in the Windows 7 and above SKUs or operating system. Can you repeat the question, please? Good question. The question is whether the process is initiated by the client or whether a bank can actually push it. So auto-enrollment is going to work conceptually in the same way that it does work today. It's going to run every 8 hours, for example, right? Going to retrieve policies from one or more policy servers, right? And based on those policies, it will decide whether it needs to send a new request, renew certificate, or just do nothing, right? So to answer your question, it's still initiated by the client, right? But the server has a way to dynamically push new policies to the client because the client will check status every 8 hours. Okay, so this client can either be, so the question is whether the client is just a managed client, domain-joined client, or can it be other clients? So Windows 7 is for the first time where auto-enrollment is going to run on non-domain-joined machines as well, right? And there is a discovery or a provisioning step where you actually need to publish a URL for the policy server to the clients, and we have API to actually set it. But once this URL is set in the right place, an auto-enrollment will run against those policy servers regardless whether it's domain join, manage, non-manage, you know, whatever. Okay? So non-domain join client, non-enterprise managed client can still leverage, right, a server implementing those two protocols. The only thing that they need is just to be provisioned with the URL, with the entry points to those protocols, to those servers, right? And in a managed environment, we do have a GPO, group policies, to actually push a URL to the client. But in non-managed, you need somehow to bootstrap the system. So that's HTTP protocols. There's a few more details about this protocol. Number one is XAP. As I said, it enables clients to retrieve enrollment policies over HTTP, right? So the same concept, certificate template, CA objects. The client needs to know and need to get this information to initialize and to go through the enrollment process. And this been retrieved over XAP, over HTTP, as SOAP over HTTP. It's a single request response protocol. It's not a very intense kind of like a protocol. The client calls the server or the entry point and say, okay, give me my policies, and the server is just going to return to the client all your policies. Again, EFS type of certificate or web server type of certificate or whatever, the server decides to return to the client. And the server returns the policies. It also returns the CA that support those policies. Obviously, the clients, once it have a certificate, needs to have an entry point or an endpoint that actually implements the WS STEP protocol that can be used throughout the enrollment process itself. And the policy server is the entity that will return those URLs back to the client that the client can use to send the enrollment request to. Okay? And that's the high level. And again, Chris have multiple, three sessions overall on the HTTP protocols. That's our biggest investment in Windows 7 timeframe, and we'll go over more details into each one of those protocols. WS STEP, as I said, is WS profile, WS Trust profile that enables extra finance certificate enrollment. We just extended it a bit to enable what we need. We support all those different request type and different scenarios, and everything is done over WS Trust. Okay?
So, when you say archive,
iCar private key. So what's the question? It's, so the question is whether when I say archive private key, it means that the key is not exportable. That's an admin configurable set things in the certificate template. The admin can decide that the key is non-exportable and they're archivable, right? The admin can also decide that the key is non-exportable, right? But can be just exported once by encrypting it to a different certificate, okay? And by doing so, it enables key archival, but from now on, no one should be able to, or no one using the crypto API should be able to export the key. Sure. Yep. It's, so the question is, what's the intent of key archival? It's the main scenario there is that if I'm using encryption certificate and associated keys, right, that will be used to encrypt data, I need to be able to recover this data, right? So that's a way for the client to send the private key to a backup service or escrow service, okay? So, again, just to summarize the TPBet enrollment, because we do have three sessions over it, it's the biggest investment we have done in Windows 7. We have three sessions, today 2, tomorrow 9, and tomorrow 10:30, to really go over, like, the, you know, business opportunities and drill down into the protocols. But that's the main thing we're expecting you to get out of the next few days. Yes, question. So it's a good question. The question is, how will the client discover the unmanaged client? How will the unmanaged client discover the entry points of a policy server, right? So we don't have a discovery protocol, and we expect this to be an out-of-band provisioning of the clients. So we have APIs that can be used by other applications to actually set the entry points of the policy servers, okay? So the client doesn't have a way to discover dynamically available policy servers. We expect the policy server itself to publish itself to the client. Chris does have a demo that shows you how to do it using our enrollment APIs, right? The idea is like, let's say you go to a public CA site, right? And you open an account saying, I want a web server cert, right? I have a web server, I need to get a certificate, right? Now, what the web server can do using our scriptable API, it actually can set its own policy server in the right place on the machine, so AutoEnrollment can pick it up next time, okay? So again, so there is a provisioning mechanism that needs to happen, right? Usually by an admin running on those machines, and those provisioning will include setting up the entry points of the policy servers on the client machines. But again, like, I don't want to hand wave too much, right? Chris does go over, like, in more details about this, okay? More questions? Okay. So, again, we have two different enrollment scenarios. We have DCOM, right, and we have HTTP, right? And we have one session on DCOM, and Larry's going to present at 1 p.m., three sessions on HTTP. Other than that, we have other protocols that enable other functionality. So first of all is OCSP. How many of you are familiar with OCSP on the certificate sales protocol? Okay, that's good. So OCSP is a standard. It's 2560 and 1519 is the lightweight profile for OCSP. So it's not a proprietary protocol. We do have a document called MSOCSP that identifies the small deviations we do have in our client and our server to this protocol. Overall, we did implement the 1519 RFC, which is the lightweight protocol. So it's not a full-blown OCSP as specified in 2560. It's more lightweight. In our client, we do have some capabilities on the server. But this document specifically, it will go over the deviation or the small changes we have done in our product to this RFC, okay? So it's the first protocol, and we have a server that implements OCSP. We have the client on Windows Vista and above, and it implements the client for OCSP 1519. OCSP-A, we have a remotable interface called OCSP Admin D to be able to manage an OCSP, our Windows OCSP servers. So this remote interface has been documented in MSOCSP-A, so OCSP Administration. If you would like to implement a Windows or another server, and you would like this server to be managed through our managed applications, then you will need to implement a MSOCSP-A. Okay? So anyone here wants to get more information on our OSISP implementation, or because I don't plan to cover it unless someone specifically would like to get more information. We're fine? So again, if you would like to get more information on the specific client or server implementation, or do we manage our servers, and you know, and we can follow up offline. Otherwise, that we don't have a talk specifically going into the details. By the way, OSISP, the MS OSISP document is a very thin document. I think about less than 10 pages overall. And you can really run through it if you need to. Next one is a document called MSCSRA. Yes, question.
So, do you know how heavily Microsoft's clients use OSISP and how much of their clients are the
channel verification?
Yep.
Yep. So the question is, do I know how heavily do client check OSISP? Or so obviously, first of all, the certificate needs to have an OSISP URL in the AI extension. And second, Windows Vista is the first time that IE actually required OSISP checks, right, before it goes to an SSL website. So whenever you do a chain verification, right, it's up to the application to decide whether to check revocation or not. Right? If the application decides to check revocation, Windows Vista and above, it will check OSISP before it checks CDP. So it will start OSISP only if it fails to get OSISP, it gets a query. And for the first time in Windows Vista, IE as an application require revocation checking on the server SSL cert. Okay? So overall, we see more and more usages of OSISP checks in our client base. Okay? Any other questions? So CSRA, that's a thick document that specifies the two interfaces that we use to manage our CAs, right? So if the way that it works in Windows is our Windows application that are used to manage the CAs, for example, CertUtil or the CA snapping, will go through the interfaces documented in this document to the CA to set configuration, get configuration, or do any other administrator tasks. So if you'd like to get more info on CSRA, please follow up with me offline. We are not planning to talk about this in the next few days. There is no significant change. Actually, there is no change in CSRA in the Windows 7 release, and everything is based on what's there online for the Windows Vista release. And next document is MSICPR. ICPR is an RPC-based method that was introduced in Windows 2000. Actually, it was introduced before. It's called ISO Passage. And it enables the client to send a request over RPC to the CA. It has a single method, right, that is equivalent to the request and request to of the DCOM object specified in MSWCC. So essentially, ICPR is a subset of what we have in WCC. Okay? So again, RPC versus DCOM and one method versus seven that are actually documented in WCC. And the last one is IKEA. IKEA is a protocol that was introduced in the Windows 2000 timeframe. It allows publication of keys to different servers. It was deprecated in Win2K3 SP1 and XP SP2. So there was no use or no client for this protocol in the Windows code base, and it was actually deprecated in those two releases. Okay? So unless you have very good reason to implement a server or a client for those, then I don't see this as very high priority for your organization. Okay? So, but just so you know, that's what it does, and it's there in MSDN. So, as I said, the biggest enhancement or work we've done in Windows 7 was to implement HTTP-based protocols, right? But we did have some, we did introduce some new functionality in our PKI that required us to make some protocol changes to the existing Windows Vista protocols. And that's what I'm going to go over in the next few slides. First of all, is a new flag, right? In MSCRTD, so again, a certificate template, 28 attributes. One of them is called flags, right? So the flag itself, we actually introduced a new bit, right? It's called city flag, do not persist in DB, right? As you probably know, network access protection is using the CA in a different way the CA was used before. It's actually issuing a cert every 8 hours by default to every workstation. So, for example, in MSIT, we have about 300,000 workstations. We decided to deploy a NAP for IPsec which means that there are roughly 1 million certs per day that the CA issues. Okay? Now, obviously, it created management issues on our CA. The CA was not designed to handle 1 million certs per day. It's about 4 gigs a day of database, so within a month, you exceed like 100 gigabytes. It's a different way to use the CA. What we have introduced in Windows 7 is a new flag on the template, right? This flag and this attribute that will instruct the CA not to persist the request or the certificate in its own database. Okay? So if for some reason you decide to implement a CA, right, and you look at a certificate template and the certificate template has this flag, then the admin intent was for you not to persist the certificate or the certificate request in the database. And it's mainly because certificate has been used as an authorization token versus an authentication or signing token. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's just one flag in CRTD. Another flag in CRTD. So another attribute called MSPK enrollment flag. So the new bit is in this location called no verification in the issued cert. Right? The idea is when you issue those authorization type of certificates, like NAP certs, for example, there is no, the concept of revocation does not apply. You give someone an authorization token, you're allowed to be on the network for 8 hours, right? I'm not going to revoke this authorization token, right? When it expires, you need to get a new one. It's like a Kerberos TGT, right? It's the same concept, right? So since there is no concept of revocation, since we actually don't persist it in the database, right? So there is no real easy way for someone to revoke it, we introduce another flag that will instruct the CA not to add any revocation information into those type of certificates. So again, the admin intent is, I created a certificate template, I don't want you to persist it in the database, and I don't want you to put any CRIL or OCSP information in the certificate itself, because I don't want the client to start checking for revocation, it's a waste of cycles on the client. Okay? So that usually goes together with the previous flag, the do not persist flag. Okay? Any questions on those two flags? Next flag is what it's again the same attribute and enrollment flags, different location. Obviously, it's called basic constraints for end entity certs. We did get few requirements in the Windows 7 timeframe to enable basic constraints in end entity certs. And once the admin set this flag in a certificate template, the instruction is for the client and the server actually to add the basic constraints to the certificate request and issued certificate. Okay, so that was we didn't have this capability in previous releases. We do have it in the Windows 7 timeframe. Last change, that's actually a protocol change, not a data structure change, is a new flag we introduced into one of the parameters of the request method. So there is a parameter in the request method called DW flags. It's a D word. We introduced a new bit called CR in Robo, right? Robo stands for request on behalf of. So previously, Windows 7 server, right, Windows K8, Windows K3, Windows 2000, the CA will require that the requester is the same as the issuer of the certificate, as the subject information of the certificate. So if I request a cert, right, I will get a cert for myself. Okay, in most scenarios, let's put it like this, right. So when I authenticate to the CA through DCOM and through RPC, authenticate as OSHEKEL, I can get a certificate as OSHEKEL. In Windows 7, we introduce a new capability when someone can request on behalf of someone else. So I might want to get, in specific scenarios, I might want to get a certificate on behalf of Chris, for example. So the way that the client conveys this information is that by actually enabling a new flag, setting a new flag, a new bit, in the DW flags parameter in specific method, request or request to. And by doing so, the CA can accept this specific request. It doesn't have to. It can accept. It obviously depends on policies on the CA. Okay? Any questions? So again, there are 4 changes, right, that are related to protocol documentation in the Windows 7 timeframe, 3 in a certificate template in CRTD, and 1 in WCC in DW flags parameter. So, last slide, just to summarize. What I've done now is just an overview. We have DCOM, we have HTTP, right? And we'll go into more details on those later today and tomorrow. Larry's going to follow up after lunch with the CASO and more DCOM, kind of like a technical documentation details. And then Chris will have those 3 sessions on HTTP enrollment in Windows 7, the protocol drilled down tomorrow morning, and then some business interoperability scenarios that we believe US licensees might be interested in. Okay? So, 10 minutes. Questions? Think it's cool? Yep. So the question is whether by default Windows 7 client are still going to use DCOM for enrollment. Okay? So it's an admin configurable. It's a GPO, right? You enable auto enrollment, it's the first thing, and then you enable the type of policies auto enrollment will retrieve. It's either an LDAP policy, which is like go to Active Directory, or there is a policy server, a URL that you can use to retrieve a policies form. By default, LDAP is just working, right? You just enable and it's there, right? If you would like to enable HTTP, you need to do extra steps to enable HTTP, okay? And another thing to note, and I kind of like touched on it throughout the slide, if you upgrade an existing infrastructure, right, to Windows 7 client and server, everything's just gonna work the same way that it was, right? DCOM, template-based, enterprise CA, nothing changed, right? If you would like to enable new scenarios, then we will ask you to go and implement HTTP enrollment, right, and to enable those new scenarios. New scenarios mean non-domain joined machine, or enrolling from a non-Windows machine, or enrolling from a partner PKI, or enrolling from a public CA PKI. So all those, like, you know, something outside of the regular boundaries of enterprise PKI can be enabled through implementation of HTTP enrollment and deployment of those policies to those clients. Okay? More questions? Can you repeat it? Are you populating?
All the browser stores are designed.
All the browsers? Okay, so Firefox and Opera. So the question is whether we will populate or we have any changes to other browsers as well, or is it IE, right? So IE is based on the crypto API and the infrastructure we have in Windows PKI, right? Every application that we leverage Windows PKI will, you know, can consume the same HTTP protocols, auto-enrollment, certificate, you know, they can get all those components. Firefox and Opera are not consuming those crypto API and our Windows PKI infrastructure. Therefore, they won't get it, you know, for free. They need to do something to get those information. Yeah, exactly, right? They have their own certificate store, for example, right? If you export from Windows PKI, you know, structures to the Firefox location, you'll get it, right? So one of the things that we are working on is to actually to approach other, you know, ISVs or VARs, whoever might be interested in, and kind of like explaining our Windows 7 work and seeing whether they're interested in leveraging those, right? So that's kind of like, that's this form, and there are other forms as well, right? And the idea is like, you know, if Firefox development, you know, would like to take advantage of this, it's just, it's an open protocol, wherever it's available in MSDN, we'll be willing to, you know, discuss and, you know, and explain what we do. So it's really up to the application developer to take advantage of this capability. Any more questions? Okay, so it's like we meet after lunch at 1?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.